If you've been told to pull up your socks, then make sure it's a pair of TNT socks. The TNT shop is now open at tntradio.live. Disassembling the lies and reassembling the truth. This is the Jason Verma Show on today's News Talk, TNT.
I was wearing some shorts today that would go great with those socks on the dog walk. Go pick them up right now at tntradio.live. We got them there in the merch section. I got to rock a pair of those. Bring them right up against the calves. Sounds like a good time. Let's talk Julian Assange. Reason to watch this broadcast. Kim Statton, The Trust Fall. Great documentary, not available in the United States. I know this is an Aussie network. Maybe some of you guys have seen it, but an exceptional documentary. He nailed it. In fact, he kind of really knocked it out of the park. Let's talk a little bit about this ruling. This essentially punts the political football in any direction, where, again, the lawfare continues to be waged against Assange. There will more than likely be no meaningful court appearances or rulings before the general election in the United States. And remember, the United States is the one that has been orchestrating these charges against Julian. Now, it was kind of said in passing, but he didn't even make the hearing because of his physical state. This man has been in Belmarsh Prison, which is one of the most vile prison facilities in the westernized world, for 5 years. He is supposedly held in solitary confinement 20 plus hours a day being tortured. The punishment is the process. Now, when you hear this ruling, and again, for somebody that's been following this for years and years and years, 2+ years ago, when we heard the words that he would not be extradited to the United States, even though the reason was essentially he would not be guaranteed to be able to stay alive, that he would take his own life, and the U.S. government could not, say that they could do that, right? Okay, now they're saying, well, the government can do that, but now we're worried about his rights as an Australian citizen. They were not worried about those rights at the hearing years ago. They'd already superseded that didn't matter. And you know what? The United States hasn't given us enough assurances that he's going to be treated fairly. Treated like you're treating Julian Assange right now in that prison system. Hey, to the point where you did have some of these hearings and he was in good enough health where he could attend. So they put him in a plastic box where he couldn't talk to his lawyers. This thing is beyond obscene, and it continues to be. And quite frankly, I am disappointed in the vast majority of the alternative media that really does put their money behind Trump and refuses to talk about this issue. This should be an upfront issue that Trump should be speaking up on. And what do I mean by that? Enough of love the WikiLeaks, can't get enough of the WikiLeaks. 2016 Trump guarantees from him that on day one, his Justice Department is not only going to drop all charges against Julian Assange, but they will proactively pardon or protect him from any charges of anything he's done in the past. He should be exonerated of anything he's done in the past. Look at what they've done to the man for committing journalism. Now, I often think about WikiLeaks because we do live in the post-truth world and we don't have the types of leaks that we did have back in 2016, back in 2020 even, the OPCW leaks. You know, big time. A lot of people not well up on them. But what? They proved that there was no chemical attack in Duma. I think those came out 2017, 2018. So we're not seeing that anymore. That is extremely troubling for freedom of speech, for people knowing what's going on, especially in a world where in 2 weeks' time, you've had a leader who was outspoken against many things, including what was going on in Ukraine, shot 5 times, and then a leader who happens to be an adversary of the United States dying in a helicopter crash while we might be on the brink of World War III. It'd be nice to have somebody out there leaking something, yet we're not getting that, but no big deal, right? Julian Assange can just spend another 12, 13 months in the court system before there's another ruling and another ruling and another ruling. Free Assange now. And you know what? We already know that Joe Biden's position is horrible because Joe Biden probably can't remember who Julian Assange is. Get Trump on the record. Let's go. It's time. Folks, give us a follow across the board on these social media platforms. If you were watching Last Hour, yes, they have their problems, but hey, we're trying to reach every individual out there we can. So a follow on X, Facebook, Instagram, Getter, Gab, you name it. We've got the account. Share the video clips. Let people know when your favorite shows are. This one, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday. You don't want to miss it. It's a banger every single time. And if you can, support independent media, people like myself through TNT Radio. Make that donation, 5, 10, 15 bucks. It means the world to us. Or make those big donations to really put your money where your mouth is. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to hit the headlines with Adam Clark bringing the ruckus. More TNT after this.
Bringing you a world view.
I like to hear what's going on around the world.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Three citizens are reportedly among 50 people who have been arrested for allegedly attempting to overthrow the government in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, DRC, on Sunday. I saw some of those videos. Pretty dicey stuff. Here with the story, joining me once again is TNT News producer Adam Clark, bringing the ruckus. We don't talk about the Congo much unless there's a venerable disaster. And again, I only saw a couple of these videos. Not looking so great over there.
So is this a CIA operation or is this something else? This is wild, man. That's right. You don't hear this kind of news every day. Oh, yeah, a few American citizens have been detained for trying to overthrow the government in Africa. Like, this is crazy. This is thanks mostly to reporting from Reuters. So take everything with a grain of salt. But they were citing a spokesman, an official one for the Central African country's army. So it seems pretty legit. And as you intimated, there was plenty of video. Can't hide from that. Well, I mean, AI, deepfake, but anyways. Sylvian Akenge issued a statement after reports of gunfire in the mineral-rich nation's capital, isn't that interesting, Kinshasa, in the early hours of Sunday. He announced on state broadcaster RTNC-TV that the armed forces of the DR Congo, the FARDC, had foiled a coup attempt against President Felix Tshisekedi. Tshisekedi in Kinshasa. This is very hard, people. I'm so sorry. Several suspects were detained and the, quote, situation is now under control, end quote. That's according to Akenji. A group of uniformed armed men reportedly launched the coup late on Saturday night, attacking the home of Vital Kamerhe, the outgoing economy minister and candidate for Speaker of the National Assembly. According to the local media, the attackers were members of the New Zaire movement, which was linked to a former DR Congo politician, Christian Malanga, who had American citizenship and had spent several years in exile in the U.S. before being killed in the attempted coup. Kamari's spokesman, Michelle Moto Muhima, wrote in a post on X, quote, two of the police officers assigned to his guard, as well as one of the attackers, lost their lives, end quote. According to Akenji and the government, the attackers also targeted the presidential palace in the city center, tearing down and burning Congolese flags. Akenji told Reuters, quote, Malanga was definitely neutralized during the attack on the Palais de la Nation presidency. A certain Abu Bakar was neutralized during the attack on the residence of Vital Kamerhe, and the others, around 50, including three American citizens, were arrested and are currently undergoing interrogation by the specialized services of the armed forces, end quote. He said one of the U.S. nationals arrested was Christian Malanga's son, Marcel. Christian Malanga, who described himself as a problem solver, eager to put an end to the, quote, corruption and political gridlock, end quote, in Kinshasa, live streamed the attempted coup on his Facebook page. He said in Lingala, according to a Reuters translation, this is the language, quote, "We, the militants, are tired. We cannot drag on with Chiziketa and Kimeri. They have done too many stupid things in this country," end quote. President Chiziketa was re-elected in the conflict-torn country's disputed elections in December. He won 73% of the votes, defeating a total of 18 rivals. In a post on X, Lucy Tamlin, the U.S. ambassador to the DR Congo, said she was, quote unquote, very concerned about reports of American citizens allegedly involved in the foiled rebellion. Let's see. She writes, quote, "Please be assured that we will cooperate with the DRC authorities to the fullest extent as they investigate these criminal acts and hold accountable any U.S. citizen involved in criminal acts," end quote. So wild stuff, Jason. We got like presidents, attempted assassinations, helicopters crashing into, you know, stuff like that. And then we got this a lot happening in the world. What say you about the Congo situation?
You know, I watched again some of these videos of the Americans being paraded out. You know, I was reading accounts that one of them had already been killed. I'm not sure whether or not that's been taking place. Like you just mentioned, U.S. representatives are like, well, we want to get to the bottom of this too. And if there's any criminal behavior, we're going to aid in this. Diplomatic immunity, nationals, that's a cover 90%+ of the time for U.S. intelligence. And look, that's a very unstable part of the world. I was watching InfoWars literally yesterday, and there's still videos of children being sold into slavery in that region of the world. You mentioned the mineral mines. You know, everybody want. I'll tell you what, we were talking the Muskerdew earlier. In real time today was the first time I got my first live look in the wild of a Cybertruck. Cybertruck pulled up next to me. Yeah, these EVs, well, they run on lithium, where if you look at the mines, it's modern day slavery. I mean, you would think that if you had a benevolent system in charge, right? Like let's say the United Nations was really benevolent, right? They would be working on processes so human beings didn't have to do the type of work that the slaves in the nations that they say that they're defending and protecting have to go in and get for us, the Westerners. And it's not just Westerners, let's be honest. It's throughout the world. This is a global agenda. So when I see stuff like this, the other aspect that was really like alarming to me is the streaming on Facebook, right? How many things have to be streamed on Facebook for a long period of time with this level of violence when I'm just saying the vast majority of anything questionable to the Facebook narrative is pulled down like that, especially when it's a live stream, right? I mean, when was the last time we even saw, you know, there was that one criminal maybe 2 years ago who live streamed some of his murders. Before that, obviously, there's the Christchurch incident. But we don't get a lot of like YouTube live streaming. So that aspect, along with these guys, the social media aspect within the U.S. government, it has me thinking like this. What's going on? And what's going to be the future of that region? Do we need some instability in Africa on top of the Middle East and Russia, Ukraine? I mean, let's really go for it, bro.
Oh, and there's other areas of the world just popping off right now. I mean, I didn't know which one to go with, Jason. There's so many. So it's pretty wild times right now. We'll probably discuss some of them tomorrow. But what we get now, Jason, is we get wannabe rappers doming themselves, shooting themselves in the head on live stream on TikTok. That's the world we live in now. I'm not sure if you saw that. That was quite disturbing. I just wanted to point out right here, unconfirmed, but there is somebody's reporting that one Benjamin Zalman Pauloon, who is reportedly an American cannabis entrepreneur, is among about 20 to 50 of these men who were captured by Congo's military today. So we're going to have to wait and see who these people are, who the U.S. citizens are, how the U.S. is going to respond, all sorts of stuff. A developing story for sure, Jason.
And you know, when you look at somebody like that, that's an entrepreneur, I would assume somebody like that is not on the scene of the actual coup. However, he might be a financial conduit for whatever the weapon systems, et cetera, or the people that did storm it got through. That's what people have to be thinking, especially when you look at, you said cannabis entrepreneur. Well, there's a lot of loopholes in there, and maybe there was a little dick-a-dick-a-do, and all of a sudden you piss off the wrong guy, and the federales step in, and they've got a deal that you can't refuse. That's really how things work. I don't think this is a black and white issue, but it's nice to know amidst all the chaos, the U.S. government is still trying to overthrow third world nations through the CIA in 2024. Really puts a smile on my face. Adam, thank you so much for joining us for this segment. We'll be seeing you tomorrow night. Guys, again, the absurdity of the world is right in front of our face. You think this is a simulation? No, it's base reality that the CIA cannot stop trying to overthrow countries that they think it's in their interest to do so with the help of the military-industrial complex. Base reality, 100%. Take a break. We're going to come back. More TNT after this.
TNT's Lembit Open.
I don't see myself as a prude. I don't think that I censor anyone, pretty much. But family entertainment should be exactly that. I don't expect family entertainment to be intensely sexualized and therefore inappropriate for the viewing with my six-year-old daughter. But that's what happened last night. The Eurovision Song Contest was infested by a lot of mediocre songs, but that's a matter of taste and certainly not offensive. But the UK entry, in my view, was disgusting. It was entirely sexualized, indicating sex acts, which I won't describe on air, with nothing left to the imagination, really. What I was concerned about is that my six-year-old didn't understand what was being portrayed and was confused by it. I turned over. I have to admit, I had low expectations, but despite that, I didn't expect to be appalled on behalf of her. Limit.
Open. And today's news talk, TNT.
No animals were harmed in the making of this program.
However, we did injure a receptionist and a technician. Sorry.
TNT.
We are now joined by J.J. Carroll. He is the author of Invaded, the Intentional Destruction of the American Immigration System. And J.J., anytime I hear somebody that doesn't want to weigh in on this issue, I see another horrific story. And I don't know if you've seen this one yet, but this one's out of California. The person's name is Edward Sarabia, and he had a Ford Transit van fitted with a cage. It was a rape kit on wheels, cords, ropes, had children's toys, and was caught in the act of raping a 26-year-old woman, and now several other people have come forward. This is a real issue. That is a simple microcosm of some of the people that we're letting in, and unfortunately, this does seem to be a destroyed-by-design scenario. So thank you for joining us. Where are we on the immigration issue?
We are past the point of almost no return. Let me just give you an example or some data points. By the time Joe Biden has done his first term in office, he will have allowed in 27 to 30 million illegal aliens. Right now, we're sitting at 45 million illegal aliens in America. 45 million. We're going to pass 50 million at the end of his term. This is intentional, strategic, and purposeful. And when you start breaking down the numbers, you begin to realize that the vast majority are single adult military age men. And Donald Trump was absolutely correct when he said they have emptied their prisons and they've emptied their insane asylums and they are all coming here. I did this job for 24 years as a frontline agent and rose up into senior leadership. I was down there. I know exactly who's crossing. We have never in the United States Border Patrol in our 100-year history, which is our anniversary this month, we have never done anything in the last 3 years that we've done in Joe Biden. Everything he has done is an intentional, strategic, and is treason.
So you just talked about your experience on the Border Patrol. So many people don't understand that obviously we had immigration policy prior to the Department of Homeland Security. And now the Department of Homeland Security has basically overtaken this policy in what I would call a treasonous and an outwardly treasonous manner, where they're ushering people in. I mean, this is the antithesis of what the Border Patrol was actually set up for, correct?
It is. And when you go all the way back to the very beginning, the head of the snake, the tip of the spear, Alejandro Mayorkas, the Secretary of DHS, in his first days in his position, he called in Chief Scott, Rodney Scott, who was the last chief under President Trump, and told him, Chief Scott said this in congressional testimony, that Mayorkas said to him, "I want you to open up every avenue possible and bring in as many people as possible." He told the chief of the United States Border Patrol that had responsibility over 20,000 Border Patrol agents, that his main responsibility is to provide sovereignty and security of the United States border, and the man tasked with running that organization told the chief to stand down and let everyone into our country. You have to understand, there's 195 nations on planet Earth. 180 of them are in the Border Patrol arrest data. You talked about that serial rapist. Listen, and you said it's a microcosm. You're absolutely right. That man represents millions. And that's not hyperbole. I'm not trying to be dramatic, but millions. I wrote in my book, the standing army of criminal aliens inside the United States is in the millions. You have, just look at this data point, okay? This is just what we know about. We have arrested, released, absconded 16 million. That's what Joe Biden says in DHS data. I know that 12 million that he arrested, you can double that to 24 million of getaways. Easily say that. In those 12 million that he arrested and released, he has arrested and released over 250,000 special interest aliens. Sir, special interest aliens in layman's terms are called terrorists. Do you know how many people I arrested in my career in 24 years, directly and indirectly, as a task force officer and then as a senior leader? About 15 to 20,000. Do you know how many special interest aliens I caught in 24 years? Less than five. Less than five. We have 250,000 in 39 months. 39 months, 250,000 terrorists released. You have over a million Venezuelans. You have over a million Haitians. You have over 210,000 Chinese nationals that I can show you are Chinese PLA soldiers. Tell me, as I ask all the audience and everybody that interviews me, if you think I'm wrong, you don't think this is treason, then tell me what the hell is going on and why has our federal government allowed 30 million people into the United States of America in 4 years? I dare you to explain it to me.
Well, I would argue it's open and arrogant treason, and not just within the government ranks, but it's kind of like this fascist treason. For instance, you look at Tyson Foods. They fire a bunch of people out in Iowa. They then move in to New York. They have their plants there, and they're going to give illegal immigrants $16.25 an hour, but they're going to hire them their migrant lawyers. They know they're hiring illegals. They know they're hiring them under a livable wage in New York State. Sorry, even in upstate New York, folks, you can't live on less than $20 an hour. These are jobs that would traditionally have had benefits and been decent for American citizens. Instead, again, you're paying them less than $20 and you're getting them lawyers so that they can stay in the country in a corrupt system. And we're seeing more and more of that. And you know, you want to boycott something, it's pretty tough because Tyson Foods, they have a slurry of different subsidiaries, you know, Hormel's in there, you name it, down the line, you don't even know what you're not doing. How do we combat this? Like, what are the steps to try to take our country back? You know, you mentioned we're on the brink and almost past the point of return. What steps do we have to take right now?
Right now, the border has to be shut down. President Trump is the only president that can be in office because he said, and I trust him, we are going to employ the largest deportation force in history. Now, I'm going to tell you straight out, Joe Biden wins, this accelerates beyond anything we can imagine. Donald Trump wins, I'm going to tell you there's going to be blood spilled on American streets. It's going to be chaos and anarchy. Those people, those 50 million people are not going to leave. They're not going to leave. They're going to hold on for dear life. And then we're going to have to drag them out. You either want a country of American citizens or you don't. Do you understand, America, that one in six residents in the United States of America are national foreign born? You tell me one civilization that has ever survived this and remained a power. Not one. And you are right. It is arrogant. They don't even hide what they're doing. Look, I'm filming a documentary called What is Treason? I just traveled back yesterday from spending 3 days in Chicago, down in Southside, having to have people bring me in under protection so I can interview people in this gang wasteland. They have brought in tens and hundreds of thousands of Venezuelans and pushed them into Chicago. They are pushing the black residents out of their neighborhoods that they've been there for decades. And you ask me what is going to happen, I'm going to tell you. And you mark it, you mark this. I listened, I interviewed high-level intelligent pastors, all the way from street pastors to mega pastors, gang members, ex-cons, businessmen, politicians, and they all said one thing. There is a violent war coming this summer. Not my words, their words. And I do not doubt it. I don't doubt it. I went to Chicago, and I could not believe the efficiency at which they're bringing illegal aliens into Chicago. It's unbelievable.
Well, let me just kind of back you up on the Chicago thing. So I live in the Quad Cities, which is about 2.5 hours. And I recently had to fly out of O'Hare to California. On the way back, I flew through Phoenix. And from Phoenix to Chicago, it was the first time that I saw the groups of people that had the pamphlets and the plastic bags and were being processed through. And they are being just dropped off there. The stewardesses outside of the planes, we were delayed an hour so they could get more illegals on the planes and into Chicago. When we got into the Chicago airport, there were more waiting to leave and be processed into the city. It's absolutely happening. It is a reality. Some people are waking up to it. But like you said, if we get another Biden administration, who knows what happens? We got to take a break. And I want to posit that question because we are less than 6 months out from that election. We're going to take a break. More TNT with JJ Carroll after this.
The news
right here. TNT Radio News.
TNT, this is James O'Neill. Iranian President Ibrahim Raisi and several other officials died in a helicopter crash in East Azerbaijan province on May 19th. Julian Assange, the founder of WikiLeaks, has won the right to appeal his extradition to the United States on charges under the Espionage Act. Volodymyr Zelensky's 5-year presidential term in Ukraine officially ended on May 20th amidst ongoing martial law and no scheduled elections.
Why not give TNT Radio a follow? We're on all major social platforms, including Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Gab, and Getter. Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time right here on today's News Talk.
TNT Radio.
TNT Radio.
And we are back. What if somehow, some way, Biden gets into the White House yet again? Because again, one of the big things I always take ownership of is in 2020, I didn't think they were making Biden the nominee. I guaranteed they were. I was watching those primary debates. The guy couldn't talk. Not only did they make him the nominee, they gave him more votes than the Barack star himself and gave him the election. He clearly runs nothing. I'm 44 years young. I've seen some puppetry in the White House, I'd argue the second Bush administration, but you had capable people behind them. Not great people, but Cheney, Wolfowitz, Rumsfeld. This administration, Kamala Harris isn't running anything. I'd say Blinken is really the only one that's outwardly capable. We have an entire puppet administration in there. If they get in again, what does America look like?
I think you'll see within the first 30 days of his office, with the help of the Rhino Republicans, who are gutless and impotent, they do nothing to stop it. You will see a full-blown push for amnesty for 50 million people. And you will see the demographics of the United States of America flip overnight. There are 50 million foreign nationals in America. This is a simple math problem with very, very negative variables attached. You have an older population that is dying in America. We are not reproducing at the replacement level. You are bringing in the vast majority of single adult military age men from 18 to 35. They reproduce, they just reproduce at a 2, 3, 4, and 5 times the rate of Americans. Just do the math, man. Just let's say they reproduce at a 2-to-3 ratio. That's 150 million people in America. And I'm being conservative, that are illegal aliens. Do you think this is all going to end? You think Mayorkas is going to slow down? This is going to be accelerated beyond anything we can imagine. I'm very passionate about this. I did it for 24 years. I'm in the weeds of it. I write about it, I write books about it. I'm doing a documentary. I'm telling you, America, you are on the brink of something you have no idea. You think when Chicago goes and fights and goes to war, well, I'm talking hardcore gang members fighting tens of thousands of Venezuelans. I've seen it. I've heard it. They've told me outwardly, this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to do it. And we're going to win. I don't care what it takes. We're going to win. Black residents of Chicago. Absolutely, this is going to happen. Do you think it's going to stay in Chicago? Do you think that that chaos is going to just stay in Chicago? I could point out multitude of small towns across America. You did one in Iowa. I'll tell you about Whitewater, Wisconsin. 15,000 residents, less than 15,000. They brought in about 1,500, 10% of their population, Nicaraguans and Venezuelans. And then in 1 year, their community is devastated. They see rapes, murders, kidnappings, child molestations, pimping, drugs that they never saw before. This isn't, you can't hide 50 million people, America. They're coming to your city. They're coming to your small royal town, and they're going to dominate you because they are from the Middle East, continent of Africa, Venezuela, Haiti, where the weapon of choice is a machete and rape. This is not hyperbole. This is not me making it up to get clicks on X or sell more books. This is just the truth. You're facing the replacement theory. It is real. It is happening in America right now.
So what would you tell the average American to navigate this? Because there's only so much that we can do in our national elections. I don't believe we really have free and fair elections. I think it's a toss-up on what does happen. And like you said, even if Trump were to get in and actually begin the policy that you stated, you don't think that these people are going to be going willingly. So for the average, you know, mom and pop out there, Joe and Jane Smith, what do you suggest they do?
I agree with you wholeheartedly that now I'm not saying to abdicate and ignore the federal elections. However, it is obvious that we do not live in a free nation and our elections are a fraud. That being said, our founding fathers gave us the antidote. And it's called the lowest level of politics, the mayor and the city council. You take over your city council, you take over the mayor, you demand that E-Verify is in your community, you demand that it's not sanctuary city, and you make your place a sanctuary city against illegal aliens. And then you cobble together towns and counties around you, then all of a sudden you have a state that demands states' rights and refuses to turn over their sovereignty. That's the only way this is going to happen, is from the local level. You can't do anything. The politicians are, they're scumbags, and both Republicans and Democrats. Look, you're looking at Nancy Pelosi that has a 50% return on S&P year over year over year. Her husband has a higher S&P return than Warren Buffett. You got Ben Crenshaw, a war hero that was in the military. After 5 years, he's worth over $5 to $10 million. How's that possible? How is it that the answer is they're corrupt? And we live in a nation that, quite honestly, our founding fathers told us what we could do. And it's called, once the government becomes tyrannical, you must have the courage and the moral fortitude to take your nation back, whatever that may be. I don't know what that is, but I know it's coming to a head. We're either going to bend a knee or we're going to make them. That's it. One of us are going to bend a knee.
Well, you know, you just talked about acting locally, and one of the other aspects of that is your sheriff, you know, supposedly your highest law enforcement official and an elected official. And I'm with you 1,000%. I hate both parties, you know, Democrats, yep. Republicans. There's a handful of politicians out there that are somewhat okay, but I, you know, I have my problems with them as well. But your local sheriff can be accountable and can push back. And one of the reasons I'm in Iowa is because of the COVID 1984 nightmare and living in upstate New York at the time. You know, a lot of those policies trickled up from the cities. They were over the top authoritarian, and there were variations in this country. And that's another thing that we have, separation of powers. It actually does matter mm-hmm. where you live, what state you're in, and whether you're involved in that local process. So I always tell people to have a plan, especially in the volatile nature of what's going on, not only in this country, but in the world.
No, you're absolutely right. The sheriffs have the most power. They just do. And they can do citizen, grand juries, they can do a plethora of stuff. And you're starting to hear that become a chorus amongst people that want change. And it is going to happen, but you're going to have to do it as a small community. Look, you mentioned at the onset, the rape ban. So do you think that this is just not going to happen to you and your community? I mean, about 2-3 weeks ago, three Guatemalans or Central American illegal aliens randomly grabbed a woman in a parking lot in the mall in the middle of Florida, in the middle of the day, raped her, gang raped her, video, and sent it all over social media. I could literally, sir, go right now for a 24-hour marathon and go case by case by case of the thousands of rapes, murders, and child molestations by the hands of illegal aliens. It is by the hundreds, if not thousands of cases daily, daily. And I'm not going to stand by. I have a wife and son, and I'm going to protect them to the hilt. But that's the mindset that we're going to have, the same mindset that I saw in Chicago, where they said, we have drawn the line in the sand. And I've asked them, what does war look like? That's a big term. That means that we kill everybody we have to. They are conditioned, as you know, in Chicago, they are conditioned to war and death and suffering and misery. Do you think that a group of illegal aliens trying to push them out of the community, they're going to bend a knee to that? Then you just don't know America, and you don't know inner city Chicago. You just don't. And the DNC is coming in August. They're going to come, and it's going to be a bloodbath in Chicago. Mark my words.
Well, they're saying they might go virtual, and I was actually just at that building in November. Let's hope there's no bloodshed, and let's hope we don't have a summer of violence. JJ Carroll, thank you so much for your insight and joining us today. We're going to take one final break. One more segment of the show, we're going to be talking about the technocracy and where we are right now. More TNT after this.
I was a quarterback at Hardaway High School. College first round draft pick, on and off the field. We were taught to not show any signs of weakness. During the football season, I would stop eating. But I didn't know I was depressed. I thought that something was wrong with me. For 20 plus years, was physical, physical, physical. We didn't have any education behind what mental health was. I started to learn it starts here first. If this is together, I'll be better as a father, as a man, and as a husband. Put the importance on your mental health. I'm not scared to talk about it anymore. The first tool is therapy. And the second one is positive self-talk. And then journaling, putting your thoughts on paper. We have to redefine what being a strong man is and heal. Love your mind.
Are you ready to help your family get prepared for the unexpected?
Here we go!
Ladybug and Cat Noir know how important it is to be ready, because you never know when Hawk Moth is going to strike or a disaster will hit. And you don't need miraculous powers. Just put those planning skills you already have to good use. Make a plan that will help you and your family be ready when emergencies happen. Ready Kids can help. Get started at ready.gov/kids.
Clear and concise. This is the Jason Burma Show on today's News Talk, TNT.
We are now joined by the host of the Boiler Room, Hesher. Thank you so much for joining us, sir. Let's talk technocracy. Now, you know, this show heavy on AI and really the consumer rollout that we're starting to see. Because, you know, technology, I'm not a Luddite. I think technology is that double-edged sword. It could be used to empower or enslave humanity. But I was just so super ultra creeped out by the launch of GPT-4. And not only because of the capabilities, but how they launched it with this attractive, flirty female voice with the kind of nerdy guy that just immediately made me think of Her, the Spike Jonze movie, which I felt incredibly dirty after watching and incredibly creeped out by. And I was a big Spike Jonze fan, hated that film. I've now got to rewatch it to figure out why I hated it so much, but I think I figured it out. It's because I don't like the idea of humanity moving away from itself and into this subversive unreality, this fictional alterverse created by these AI personas that are programs and not conscious.
Yeah. I gotta admit something to you, man.
last night, I was looking at my YouTube tabs, you know, the recommended feed, which I do, and I saw one there about how to make an AI influencer using GPT and how to make, you know, between $6,000 and $11,000 a month. And I gotta say, you know, when the smartphone came along, when many things came along, when Bitcoin came along, I'm like you, I'm the first to recoil. When I first saw her, I recoiled. It's like, oh my God, you know, we saw her, you and I and everybody that saw her when it came out originally, that was before we had a term called incel, right? and it's like, this is insane because they're literally showing you what it looks like in that movie that, you know, Joaquin Phoenix did a brilliant job in it. Spike Jones did a brilliant job, whether, you know, that topic makes us recoil or not. But it's like, look, guys, it's hard to get babes. Scarlett Johansson is the babe. And guess what? You can all have her. She can be your advocate. She can be your girlfriend. She can be everything to you. And guess what? She can set up a lamp stack server set for you or show you how to make an AI influencer that is going to put money in your pocket. I mean, these are things that you and I could not have imagined, only dreamed about when we were more susceptible to ideas like that. You know, I'm talking 15 to 27, 32, who knows now with everybody being, you know, just completely infantilized and, you know, culture being nothing but an amalgamation of boring old rehash stories, the disappearance of the hero's journey. You know, we're all Neo now. And guess what? Neo, you don't need to put the work in to get your own Scarlett Johansson. You got her.
And you know what? That is really sad. Look, first of all, I've seen this movement away from human interaction. You know, I was a big gamer as a kid. I'll whoop your butt in Mortal Kombat, but I never was the guy putting on the headset and playing online or the Call of Duty stuff. It was more like a private thing. And even today, I don't watch a lot of movies. I'll pick up older games with narratives and I'm not streaming them. I enjoy that. You know, again, it's a technology, but you now have people so immersed in these digital worlds where they're pushing the metaverse. And believe me, they've tried to push it farther, but you use the term incel, involuntary celibacy, but you've basically given up on it and you're so angry about it, you're taking it out on the rest of the world. These are the type of people that spend time not only in the metaverse type environments, but social media, the chat rooms, etc. And that's the kind of behavior that's been encouraged. They don't know how to interact in the real world. And I would even posit that my generation was softened up because we were told we were all special and we didn't have to work for things. And we got the participation trophies. And it was okay if you quit if somebody was mean to you. You know, a lot of people want to put stuff on this current generation. We paved the way.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know, I don't know about you, but I identify as a Gen Xer, and you know, Gen X is a very, like, Gen X is sort of the last generation of feral people, the last generation of people that were not exposed to all this stuff. You know, I spent every summer riding skateboards and mountain bikes and swimming and going to the river and doing all that stuff. And then in sixth grade, I got my first Nintendo, right? I picked it up at the grocery store in the camera department for my first $100 that I ever earned myself and saved up. And that year, that, you know, summer of sixth grade, between sixth and seventh, was the first time I ever spent the entire summer indoors. And that's because I had Mario and Contra and all those games and stuff, you know? And it was like a magical time because I was a kid that just a year ago spent the entire summer on his skateboard and mountain bike. And then the next year, the entire summer on Nintendo. And you're absolutely right. They seeded us with the cult, the way, you know, intentionally or not, they experimented on Gen X with this. And they said, oh, look at this. We got X amount of millions of kids to drop their skateboards, their pogo balls, whatever they were interested in that year, and sit in front of the television and spend their entire summer with our product. And now look at us. Now look at us. We have an entire generation, two, three generations of people who grew up with this stuff. Not just the video games. Video games is one thing. You know, that's something I think Gen X could kind of parse out and be like, yeah, I have my video game time. I need to relax. You know, I want to go kill some MFers on Call of Duty or whatever. But we have children now, kid. We have adults now who have never ridden a skateboard, who have never ridden a mountain bike, who've never went swimming during the summer and only eat Lucky Charms.
Well, you know what? Let's also talk about some differentiations. Our generation is also really the last one where somebody just showed up to your house and knocked on the door, whether that was when we were growing up or when we were in college or young people. People would just show up out of nowhere. Now, also, you would share one device to communicate with and often argue who was on it. Call waiting was a big deal, guys, that someone could even beep in at some point. So you also had that interaction. Yeah, I mean, think about this, people. How many of you would just show up somewhere without a text or a phone call? Usually a text at this point, letting them know you're on the way. It's almost non-existent. And then the other thing that we really didn't have to deal with, yes, there was that in-person action. Now people actually relate to one another on what they're posting on social media. So if they are out in that feral world, it's the selfie of them in front of the pretty car or at the event, etc. And that's not real because that's the 17th time they've snapped that. And it's at an angle and it's got a filter and they just edited out the dog and the other guy walking out in the background. Nothing's even we live in the post-truth world within our social arenas now as well.
Right? I mean, I was literally just before I came on out with the wife and we're watching, you know, we're sitting in a room in a bar eating dinner and I'm looking at the television up there. They got ESPN2 or whatever on, you know, that I don't pay attention to. But I look up during the commercials. And I see a Google Android commercial, right? And it shows this wiener dog, you know, this person taking a picture of their wiener dog with their phone. And they use the AI tools to edit the photo. And that, you know, the dog, it's a wiener dog. It's got like 3-inch tall legs. I've got two of them sitting right here. They jump only so high. So what the chick does is she hold presses it. And it selects the dog and she raises it up like 8 feet. So it looks like this wiener dog is just, you know, flying. Like when he takes a leap, it's like 8 feet in the air. The sunset's beautiful behind him. And I'm just sitting there going, this is completely fake. You're making it. We had a big enough problem with social media as it was, Instagram in particular, for young girls in particular, leading them to suicide and stuff because they have it. Just the, you know, the filters, they just destroy their lives pretty much when they have an influencer or an ambassador that they follow and admire, whatever. And it's like, wow, we're just giving everybody the tools to create their own fake reality.
And you know, you mentioned AI influencer avatars. And by the way, I'm starting to see that in my YouTube feed where they're talking about not products selling anymore, but basically these type of influential things and AI videos. Right now, you can go to HeyGen.com and you can either make yourself into an avatar. They've got plenty of other avatars for you to choose from. Soon, it will be like an editor on a video game where you're not just going to be able to be given the choices, but just like when you created your character for Saints Row the Third, and I enjoyed doing that, you're going to be creating these avatars. And then you'll be able to train a large language model to pick trending topics. You can give it essentially what you would like them to say, or you could actually have the AI say, hey, what's going to be most favorable? What's the most favorable position to take for the algorithm? And then this thing that doesn't exist is going to produce a social media video, whether it's 30 seconds, 3 minutes, or 3 hours. At some point, maybe that's not here now because I know what the cost is for the relevant person, but we know those costs are going to come down, which is totally and completely fake, and the person that created it is going to benefit financially. And we've seen microcosms of this already on Instagram with fake AI accounts that have gotten big and people kind of buying into it. How far are we away from everybody with the her device that they're talking about? And then I would assume just about the same level that her device is going to have a video persona, much like these avatars. What do we have? 18, 24 months tops?
I think so. I think we're there. You know, I feel kind of similar to how I felt in, well, it's easy to say this with hindsight, right? Hindsight is always 2020, of course, as the trope goes. But when the smartphone hit, you know, when the Apple iPhone hit and the Google Android first hit, I don't know if we really understood what a paradigm shift that would be societally. And, you know, you look now and it's like, holy crap. Well, you know, look in the rearview mirror, it's like, wow, there was an entire generation of people in China and India and all kind of countries that didn't, you know, have personal computers or, you know, laptops the whole time we did between, say, I don't know, 2000 and 2011 or something like that. But, you know, once these things started filtering in, it was like we saw an insane change in India's culture and our own culture. And, you know, name a country, but, you know, it's like that was a paradigm shift. It was one of those moments where we were like pressing our head into some sort of membrane and then it popped through. And all of a sudden, we're in Wonderland. All of a sudden, you know, kids are receiving. I think we have a mutual friend, Aaron Dykes. You know, he and his wife did a movie called The Minds of Men. And it's all about, well, a big part of it is about, there's a whole section on cybernetic feedback loops. And I think that is a much more descriptive term for an algorithm than the word algorithm itself. That's just sort of a throwaway word that doesn't necessarily mean much to people that aren't techie, but it's a feedback loop and it knows, it understands what your biases are. It understands, you know, what your interests are, and it feeds those things in order to keep you engaged. That's their main goal, is to keep your engagement. And when you apply that to children, we don't know what that means. We're only just now finding out what that means as we do, you know, as we get, you know, psychology sort of on, you know, the millennial generation and Gen Z. And I think AI is going to be the same thing. It is going to completely change our paradigm. It's going to turn everything upside down the same way the smartphone did. It's going to change workplaces. I have a friend, I'm not going to name him because I don't want him to get in trouble, but he actually gave a report to his corporate bosses at a huge consulting corporation recently about AI. And he sat there and he took the bold step of saying, you know what? We need to use this tool to replace 5,000, 10,000, I don't know how many desks, but look what this can do. Look what GPT 4.0 is going to be able to do. We're not going to need humans sitting there sending each other emails because these two entities can now be artificially intelligent.
And we saw that in some of the GPT demos. For instance, the one where they were returning a phone. So the one AI was an advocate for this return of a phone, and the other was the customer service that was going to take that return. And they had a full conversation together and how to ship that device. You know, you talked about AI from a child's perspective. And I often, first of all, we're in this weird place where reality states that children know who they are sexually, like basically at birth, this point, right? That's very, very bizarre. And we no longer acknowledge that, you know, we have the term influencer, but apparently they don't influence people, right? Apparently we've never had fads. We've never worn jam pants or had the little thing you put around the wrists, or all had a Cabbage Patch Kid or a micro machine, or we're into the same wrestler. Apparently there's no influence anymore, but the reality is there is. And I can remember a time when I was a kid that I had my favorite toy or doll. It was the Gizmo Gremlins toy. And I had like a little, you know, special relationship as a little kid. There are some that are much more imaginative and they'll say they talk to their teddy bear or these things. The AI is now going to be these devices. And they're not just going to be assistants on a phone. You know, you talk about Alexa that's been around, but when they're in the education system in particular, you develop a relationship, whether it's a positive or a negative one, with your educators. If that thing is AI, we're talking about all sorts of emotional responses that I don't think we're prepared for, but they're going to try to prepare us that this is indeed the authoritative source that we should go to. And that's pulling us away from being human in so many regards, I don't even really want to think about it. Let people know where they can check your stuff out, Hesher. Thank you so much for joining me, by the way.
Right here at Today's News Talk, of course, find me and Timothy Shea running State of the Nation here at Today's News Talk. That is, of course, from 6 to 8 Eastern Time. And find me on Thursdays in the Boiler Room at AlternateCurrentRadio.com.
All right. Thank you so much. And thank you guys for checking us out here at TNT Radio. Not live. Again, I'm here 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern. It is not about left or right. It is always about right and wrong. I love you guys. And I will see you tomorrow night on the flip side.